Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Tom Jones joins me, and Tommy, the Lightning won Game 2 at Carolina to take a 2-0 lead. This series is over. Yes or no?
Yes, although it won't be easy, and it's going to go a ways, but I do think it's over. I don't think the Hurricanes can come back. I don't think they can beat the Lightning 4 out of 5 games. But, Rick, this is one of those series, and I don't know how you felt about it, but watching the Game 2, you and I were texting each other. I was texting my son during the game. It was a grind to watch. I mean, these games are, yeah. I got a bloody nose just watching it. And it felt like this entire game was just like played in a phone booth. And I think that's the way the whole series is going to be played. That's the way Carolina plays. They're hard to play against. And they're hard to watch. And I don't mean that to be insulting, but it's a grind, man.
I do. It's a terrible style of hockey. Listen, they don't give you any room at all. They're a hard-checking team. We knew that going in. You look at the series they played during the regular season, I think the Lightning went 4-3-1 against them. But it seems like almost every game, if there were 3 goals by the winning team in a game, it was rare. Most of these games were 2-0, 2-1, 2-0, 1-0, that sort of thing. And it is just the way they play. I will say this, that they had a lot of shots. I mean, they had, I think Andrei Vasilevskiy stopped 31, I want to say. The Lightning only had, Tom, 15 shots on the game.
Hardly remember any of them except for the goals.
Right, except the ones that went in. I can't remember that there were that many, great chances. I mean, good for them. They buried 2 of their 15 shots. But I didn't really get a sense that the Lightning necessarily outplayed Carolina. They were good defensively, and almost from the start, Carolina had some odd man rushes, some things that Vasi had to turn away. But for the most part, I'm still trying to figure out how they won this game, because they just, it's their experience. It's accepting that this is what they're going to face with Carolina, I think. It's not trying to push things, too fast down the ice and just accept their fate, get the pucks in deep, grind away as best they can and win the game. And I think that they're doing that.
I think you hit it right on the head, Rick. It's a patient game, and it's only the type of game that you play when you've been through it and you've had the experience that, hey, we're going to have to win games where we can't open it up. I mean, there were some games in that Florida series early on, that 5-4 game or whatever in game one.
It was like wild.
That's a wild game, and it's fun for us, but I'm sure it was giving John Cooper ulcers behind the bench, because that's not the style you want to play in the playoffs. On the other hand, these games can be hard to watch. They can be really hard to play in. Having talked to players, I know, they say, look, these games can test your patience. You want to go. You want to jump into the play. But at the same time, you sit back and knowing that, hey, we might only need a goal or two. I was watching a game, Rick, and I got a sense. I mean, Carolina did a nice job on their goal with the goalie pulled. But from the mid-second period on, it felt like, here's Carolina's offense. Let's chip it into the zone, fight to get it back, throw it to the point, put a bunch of people in front, and just whip the puck at the net and see what happens.
That was their game.
That was their goal. Like, maybe we'll get a deflection, because I think Vasilevskiy now is in their head to a point like, the only way we're going to beat him is to throw a bunch of traffic in front of him and hope that the puck hits something or a couple of somethings and then goes into the net. Because if you think you're just going to beat him cleanly on a shot, it clearly is not going to happen. Now, again, they did a nice job with the goalie pulled. I thought that was a really nice goal they scored to make it 2-1. But other than that, Rick, it just felt like their offense, while they had more shots than Lightning, it felt like a lot of their shots were like, let's just throw it and hopefully it hits a bunch of stuff and finds a hole somewhere and goes in. That's the way this whole series is going to be played, Rick, and you're going to have to keep the patience if you're the Lightning. This series, I say it's over, but I mean, I still wouldn't be surprised if it goes 6 or 7 games. I think the Lightning wins this series because I think they're better in goal. I think there's going to be a game where one of their stars jumps out, like a Kucherov or a Braden Point. That's the other thing, Rick. Like, look who played well in that game too. Like I thought Alex Killorn might have been the best player on the ice.
That's
a guy, big, physical, tough guy, mm-hmm. took a stick to the face or mouth or whatever. I thought he played well. I thought the third line, Maroon, played well. I thought Tyler Johnson played well. I mean, those mm-hmm. are guys that seem to thrive in these type of games where it's just, like I said, it feels like you're playing, you know, in a sort of 5x5 sheet of ice, you know.
I mean, Carolina doesn't allow, you know, really you to get through the neutral zone without getting somebody in your face. I think that's been the difficult thing for the Lightning is just getting some zone time, much less, you know, getting their big players involved, you know, whether it's Kucherov or Stamkos, although he did have an assist.
Yeah, so but you're not, right. He wasn't. I didn't think he was particularly noticeable.
He really wasn't. And, I mean, and for that matter, you know, Braden Point is usually a guy that creates a lot of opportunities or is on the receiving end, and he didn't have many chances. And so, you know, Carolina has done what they wanted to do with respect to sort of neutralizing those stretch passes and really, you know, clogging up the middle of the ice. And it is boring. I mean, the first thing they said after the game, I was watching NBC Sports Network, it's like, well, it was just kind of a boring game. And I don't mean was boring in the terms to watch, but it just kind of, you know, it was hard to watch because there just wasn't going to be a lot of offense. And they're right, you know, but I don't know. You know, here's the other thing. The Lightning played these guys a lot, right? I mean, they're playing teams in their own division now. That has to be an edge for you would think, for both sides. But the Lightning's experience and again, their willingness to understand, hey, here's what we have to do against this team. Against Florida, we can do this. Against Carolina, we can do that. Maybe next round against Boston and the Islanders, we can do something else. They can beat you any way you want to play. And in any sport, Tom, I think that has been the mark of great teams. You know, that it's sort of like, well, we do what we do. Well, you can't always do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, there are times, and Bill Belichick was famous for this in football, where he would just completely change his whole defense based on who they were playing that week, or change his whole offensive attack based on the personnel he had. Some years it was two tight ends. Other years it was Randy Moss and a couple of receivers. Some years it was all running backs. And, you know, he just seemed to adapt and survive. And as explosive as the Lightning can be and as many good players as they have, their experience, I think, is just it's palatable. You can feel it on the ice that if they have a lead in the third period, you're probably not going to get a very good scoring chance.
Like, no,
they just know how to lock it down.
If you do, you run into, you know, to a really good goaltender as well. So,
not just really good. How about this? The last three games, right? Mm-hmm. He has stopped 97 out of 99 shots.
And I think the only two that got by him were either power play or
tip
with the goalie pulled. So
right,
I don't advantage. Think he's given up. I don't think they've given up a 5-on-5 goal in the two games in Carolina.
You know? That's correct. No, you're correct about that. Yeah, it was a power play goal. So or a man advantage. So yeah, I mean, just think about that. I mean, the guy gets better in the postseason as the postseason goes along. And he's going to play every game. He played every game a year ago. They haven't had, thankfully for them, one of those five overtime games that they had, you know, in the last cup run. So, I mean, as long as you have that dude and they don't just completely leave him out to dry with odd man rushes, and he did stop a couple of those, I mean, it you know, I think that's got to get in your heads if you're Carolina after a while. If you're throwing that many pucks at him and nothing's getting through, then what do you try to do? You try to make the perfect pass, the perfect shot? I mean, it's got to be in their heads a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That does happen in a series, and I've seen it happen where a goaltender gets in the other team's head where you're looking for the perfect shot. And if you're Carolina, you look back at these first two games, and you're thinking, how are we down 2-0? Why are we not up 2-0?
Right.
I mean, and then you look back, and you know what happens, too? It's like, okay, our goalie gave up kind of a crummy goal to
kind
end
of a
game
weak
one.
Goal game one, yeah.
Yeah, and then we go out there, outshoot them. They only have 15 shots, but they score two. Not that either one were the goalie's fault in this game. But at the same time, you know, it's like, well, you know, we dominate play, but we can't score goals against their guy. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to win? I think the key for the Lightning going forward is don't get stupid, don't get caught in. You know, it's a different – and also, too, Rick, I don't know if you sense it, too, and they mentioned it during the broadcast – and I thought they were exactly right. The Florida game seemed to have a lot more – the Florida series seemed to have a lot more passion, a lot more hatred, a lot more guys, you know, a lot more rust.
A lot of vitriol, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, this one just feels more like kind of sleepy. Not sleepy, but kind of just,
well,
again,
there's not all
grindy.
The extracurricular stuff, but you know why? Here's why I think that is true. Here's what I think, as Peter King would say. I think that these two teams respect the power plays and understand that you're giving too much of an opportunity if you get in the box. In other words, you know, it's one thing, you know, to have an inadvertent high stick or you know, I mean, those things may happen, yeah. Although you want to control your stick. You don't want to trip people. You don't want to hook somebody, all
yeah,
that.
Don't get lazy out there. Yeah.
But it's another thing if you're just, you know, decide, I'm going to go after this guy and, you know, like Maroon did one night, and I'm just going to rip some guy's helmet off for no reason. You know, that's a selfish act. So I think both teams are sort of cognizant of that. But you're right. There's not much smack talking. There's not much, you know, punching around the goaltender at the end of a stop that you normally see. It really doesn't have that hatred that the Florida series. I'll tell you, if you can find a better, more entertaining series than that, I don't know that I could watch yeah. it, because between the high scoring and all the, you know, all the shenanigans and the violence, quite frankly, I mean, there were some enormous hits in that Florida game, you know, to the point where you're worried about guys' safety.
Right.
I don't think anybody's is skating around thinking, I got to keep my head on a swivel. You're just not seeing that kind of a physical style, you know, of play in this series, which is odd.
Well, I think a couple of things. I think you hit on part of it. Like, both teams, they're not out there to prove anything. Like, we know we're good. We know you're good.
That's right.
And at the same time, these two games, the first two games have been really close. So we haven't had an opportunity like we did the other night with Carolina and Vegas, where the game was out of hand, and then Vegas turned the full, you know, WWE on everybody.
Right.
And then I think the deeper you go into the playoffs sometimes, the more you realize, like, okay, this is serious now. Let's not – you hate to lose a game. You just said it a minute ago. You hate to lose a game because you hit somebody in the back of the head with a punch 200 feet from your net during basically a timeout. Like,
exactly.
That just – you know, again, you don't mind – we saw some penalties in game two where Killorn dragged down a guy in front because somebody had a chance to score. Kucherov made almost dashed around a guy, and I think Trocheck. Oh, by the way, Vincent Trocheck.
Oh, that did not look good.
No, and apparently after the game, Rob Brendamore, the coach of Carolina, says it doesn't look good. We'll know more on Wednesday about whether.
Right.
But that's a key player. I mean, that guy.
That's a huge
loss.
He's
a point a game guy. You know, he scored, I think, 17 goals, had like maybe, like I said, almost a point a game. So.
Right.
If he's out, but like those penalties, you don't mind taking when you're breaking up a scoring chance or something like that. But these other penalties, you don't want to have happen. So I think both teams are disciplined enough, and they're well coached. I like Rod Brendamore. I think, boy, that Rod Brendamore looks like he could play right now.
Still,
right now,
right, yeah.
50 years old, I think he is.
Yeah,
I think I heard a story where he takes part in like the team's conditioning drills. Like,
just to,
you know,
keep
they have
himself
like,
in shape.
Well, they have a conditioning test at the start of every training camp. Remember, Tortorella used to have when they called it Camp Tortorella and all this.
Right.
We do this like 12-minute skate or some crazy thing. And apparently, like, Brendamore does it and like is not the worst on the team. Like, he does better than some players do at that.
You know, that reminds me when Ray Perkins was coaching. He would have a 12-minute run, you know, for the players that came in, and they had to do so many 100-yard sprints or whatever in 12 minutes.
Right, right.
But then he'd also have the media softball game, first day of training camp, or actually was sort of a pre-training camp. And I always thought that was a big litmus test. Have you ever played in a media softball game or that kind of thing?
I
only played in one of them. Have
yes.
you played in one?
Yes.
How'd it go?
No, not as well as you think it's going to go. And let me tell you this.
I got to hear this.
This is going to sound dumb. It's going to sound stupid. I was a really good men's softball league player. Like, I played in city
leagues.
You
were an exceptional men's. So I can vouch for that because I've been on the softball field with you.
I was before I had kids, you know, when I was in my mid, late 20s.
Yeah.
I was playing like four nights a week. I was playing like a league in Clearwater.
Did you have your own? Did you have your own bat? That's all I want to know. Did you bring your own bat?
No, I did. I bring my own bat guy. Yeah, for a while.
Yep.
But I played in the league at Eddie Seymour in Clearwater. I was playing in like two leagues at Woodlawn. I was playing in the league
Barnstorming.
In Tampa.
Barnstorming
tournament. Playing. I was a mercenary on weekends. Like, hey, we need a guy.
Bingo Long.
And so I don't know if you remember the old St. Pete Pelicans.
Oh, of course.
Senior
yeah.
baseball league, which was Bobby Tolan was the manager. And,
yeah.
you know, a bunch of guys that played in the 70s. So I actually covered it. So they had a media softball game.
Okay.
And I played in that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out there and just like,
I'm going to wear them out.
In my entire life,
I've never played a game worse.
I've swung and missed at a softball twice in my life.
No.
Twice in my entire life.
That day?
I did it that day in front of like 600 people or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And then then I end up just like, just make contact. And then I hit fly ball at that. But
just
yeah,
pop it up.
So
yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm hitting like, literally hitting like 800 in men's softball leagues all over Pinellas County and Hillsboro. But yeah. in the game that matters most, and in front of the most people I've ever played from, swung and missed at a softball.
Wow.
It's a true story. Obviously,
I think I probably swung and missed at a softball before. I would imagine it was because it's trying to swing too hard. By the way, as we're doing this podcast, Yankees win. The Yankees.
Oh, I want to talk about the Rays in a minute, but back to your softball.
Back to my softball game.
Ray Perkins. Yep.
Yeah, it was a walk-off home run, by the way. I think it was Frazier. Is that true? Number 77? Who's 77? We'll figure this out in a minute, folks. So Perkins had this media softball game. And,
yeah, it was Frazier, by the way, yes.
I was playing shortstop, which I was very comfortable doing. And, you know, routine plays in the field and whatnot. And I got up there, and I got on a few times. But I just remember, like, the game ended, and you know Nick Puglisi, who used to cover the Bucks for the Tampa Tribune and was their sports editor for a while there.
Yeah, and I believe he's now
in West Palm
Beach.
Beach
Yeah.
And it's one of the worst injuries I've ever seen. I don't mean to laugh, but it was kind of is that he hit a ball back to the mound, and he ran to first base. And this will just show you why you don't play media softball games or anything media, because – you're not an athlete, right? At that in your life, maybe you run, maybe you jog, maybe you play some, you know, basketball on Saturdays, whatever. But at that point in your life, you have no business being out there in an athletic field against former athletes like coaches and whatnot. I mean, Ray Perkins was a professional receiver.
Yeah.
So Nick hit a ball back to the mound, and he ran to first base. And when he came out of the box, it was as if somebody took a baseball bat and smacked him across the back of the legs. He went down in a heap, and I thought, oh my God. And he pulled a hamstring. Like he tore it. And within seconds, that thing was as black and blue as you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of like, for all of us, it ended the game because it was
It
was so bad. It was like, what are we doing? And then I swear to you, I've covered the Bucks for a few years. I swear to you, this was the first year we've never had another media softball or athletic event since. Like that was the end. It was like, yep, no, people are getting hurt. We're not going to do this anymore.
I thought so it reminds me two other stories, actually. So a few years ago, I was playing, my son played high school baseball at Northside Christian.
Yeah.
And after the season was over, we had a father-son softball game.
There you go.
And so we make up the lineup, and it's just, you know, we're not taking it very seriously.
Right.
But the last thing I say to the guys as they go out, I go, here, can I just offer some piece of advice, fellas? Like, this is here's my pregame pep talk. Ready? Don't run. Seriously, don't sprint to first base because you'll regret
hard.
It. So the first guy, but you know what? We all think, even at age 50, we all think we're still 25.
Oh, sure.
Even though we haven't run actually a sprint.
It's the competitive instincts that take over, right? You just, I got to beat this throw. I got to, you know.
First pitch, ground ball, shortstop, guy takes off, literally takes about six steps and gives it's a sound that's unmistakable. It's, and they grab the back of their leg, and he goes down.
Hammy, right?
Hammy. Yeah. Strained, okay?
Strained, okay.
Next guy, ground ball, short, six. He gets about eight steps. torn. This guy was torn.
Oh, my God.
It. Yeah. I think
also
he ended up having surgery. Hammy.
Another hammy?
I come up third, hit a ground. I'm left-handed. You know, I'm left-handed better. Hit a ground ball to second. And if they had timed me, I would have run home the first. It would have taken about 6 minutes because I wasn't running.
I wasn't getting out of the box.
But I saw another guy. I don't want to say who it was. But years ago, Rick, I don't know if you remember, you and I used to play softball on Saturday mornings.
Absolutely.
At a church in
St. Pete.
I believe it was St. Paul's church.
It was St. Paul's.
They had
correct.
A ball field there and everything.
You are correct, sir.
We had a game, and there was a guy who still works at the Times. And somebody hit a ball and he was playing the outfield, and a ball, there was no fence there.
Right.
It like That's ran great. Into a parking lot. So
as I recall, there were treetops in the left field and just a parking lot in center.
The ball was hit to right center or whatever, went into this parking lot, and this guy was going after the ball, trying to get like, hurry up,
going hard. Yeah.
Running hard, blew his hamstring so bad. It was the most horrifying and funniest thing that I've ever seen, because the guy like went down and we were like, are you okay? And he immediately started throwing up from the pain.
Oh,
we knew
God.
He was okay, but at the same time,
before.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It's a Saturday morning. We're running you guys what, are throwing
that,
up.
I'm assuming, and I don't know that I was there for that game. I'm assuming that ended, like the cleared the base, cleared the dugouts, right, at that point.
Yeah, it's like, we're done,
everybody
right?
gets their bag, and they go, we're through.
And the guy that it happened to, I never saw him out there again. And same thing, I hung out with him later in the day. We went to like lunch, and we went to a record store. And his leg, I'm telling you, black as night.
But like how did he, was he limping around? Was he dragging himself?
Yes, he was. Jeez. And it was like a black, blue, like it was the deep, and it almost like immediately, I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, that happened to Puggo. Yeah, that happened to Nick.
But I had, I had my teeth bashed out playing softball. I lost about
Yes, well, I was there for that
teeth.
Day.
Well,
that was the old.
This was
a wood,
this
was,
no,
that?
You were not there for this, but you saw me not long after that, and you were wearing a mouth guard because you saw what had happened to me.
Well, and you know
it happened in Woodlawn. Yeah. I was playing at Woodlawn, and a bad hop hit me in the mouth and took out about five, six teeth.
Yeah,
like
you looked you looked pretty bad.
Well, you know what's funny about that too? So like, what happened was I lost, like 5 or 6 teeth, but they tried to save a couple of them, so I had. Basically, when they repaired some, but they were hoping to save one, but and the one next. So basically, I went around for about 2 months with no front tooth. I was missing a front tooth, and I was covering the senior league. And remember that show? I think it was A Current Affair was the name of the TV show.
Current Affair.
They
yeah.
asked me to come on to talk about the senior league.
No.
And I went on, and I looked back. I taped it. It was like my first time on TV, and there I am with no front tooth. It's just – and the thing, it was like one of those like, oh, we're just going to ask you about the league and how fun it is. Maybe tell some funny stories about the guys. I'm like, all right, I got some stories lined
up. Did you try to hold your hand up?
Yeah, I tried to put my head down.
Put your lip down a little bit?
Yeah, right there. And the first question out of the gate was, and there was a problem with attendance, and some of the teams were complaining about lack of coverage in the newspaper.
There was a problem. Nobody went.
Yeah, nobody went. So, yeah, which is why they folded in year two. Yeah. But – it was as we were talking Current Affair. He's like, "This is Tom Jones. He covers the St. Pete Pelicans for the St. Petersburg Times. Tom, let me ask you a little bit about the league. I know it's been a lot of fun covering and some crazy characters and all. What do you say that the St. Petersburg Times doesn't cover this league well enough, and that's why it's failing?" And I'm like,
Jesus.
"What?" And all of a sudden, I'm stumbling. And I got no tooth, and it just looks like I look like a hillbilly. And it's like, oh my gosh, what is? What am
Hillbilly?
I doing here? Yeah.
I call you that a lot. Yeah, it's funny. Of course, you used to, did you, I don't know why we're talking about our bad athletic prowess, but just a warning, folks, not to go out there and attempt to do these things if you're well past any kind of prime, which is like 20, 25 years old.
I pulled groin walking the other day. Seriously, walking. I was like, I think I did something to my groin.
My hip hurts when I sleep on it. I mean, I didn't think all I do is fall asleep on one side. But there was a – did you used to play at the basketball at the YMCA next to the Times?
Not as much as you did. I only played a couple of times.
You played a couple games. Well, I would play a lot. And one day we cleared the – I cleared the gym. It was one of those things where, like, when certain people – when you get hurt bad enough, you know, and I had sprained ankles there, you know, where you scoot on your butt, like, from one foul line to the next because it hurt so bad. But that no one leaves the court for that. But
I'm telling you, Rick, you hate to do it. Like, we've all done it. We've all twisted ankles. You hear the snap in your head.
Oh.
And it's the most painful thing, and you just rock. And everybody else is suppressing laughter because
they're holding them.
It is funny.
They're trying to
watch
hold it
somebody
back.
with a twisted ankle.
It's like, ow, 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 ow. But and it's sliding on your butt all the way back across. I literally went from one foul line to the next on my backside. So screaming. But
it cracks me up.
It was funny. So that wasn't the worst. So, but you know, there was this one game where this guy used to play a lot, and it was one of those deals where a guy's going to throw an outbound, an inbound pass like to half court, right? He's trying to catch you. You know, guy's cherry picking a little bit.
Right.
And I'm guarding him, so I've already dropped back, and I see he's going to make this pass. And so I decide, yeah, should I run up and intercept this? It's going to be close. I might collide with him. I don't really know whether I should try this or not, you know? And then at the last second I did, and it's like slow motion. You see the ball, and it's coming to the guy, and his head's turned, and he's trying to receive it. And it's almost like football, right? Like the ball and you and his head is going to turn towards you about all at the same time, right? At which point I put both hands up in the air because I didn't want to hit him, right? I was trying to, I thought maybe he'd go underneath my elbow or whatever and I would miss him, but there was nothing else I could do but put both palms straight up in the air, okay? Unfortunately for me and him, he turned into one of my palms, which is about the hardest part of somebody's hand you can hit, right? Like was right... sort of like between the thumb and the wrist bone.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the nose. He was like, it was like Picasso. He goes, everybody cleared the gym immediately because there was some gore involved. And he just said, hey man, how's my nose look? I go, oh, it's not good. He goes, really? I go, well, it's under your left eye predominantly. I go, you're going to have to get that fixed. He goes, oh, no, I had a flight out to business in San Francisco tonight. I go, yeah, you're not going to make that.
You're not going to make that flight.
I turn around, and I swear, nobody was left in the gym. Everybody just packed up and left.
Thought about that is like, who is the idiot who decided to throw a pass half court? Like, what are you doing? It's a pickup game. Just bring it in. Just try. Just,
I know, but
nobody cover
like,
anybody full court. Just bring it in and
it was bang, and I it just goes to show you, like you should not be out there. Like, what are you doing? So, for all of you weekend warriors out there, take it easy.
Yeah, no, I had a few years ago. I went up to I used to run walk a lot more than I used to. I'd like 4 or 5 miles a day, and right. I went up to a buddy. I went to visit a buddy of mine in Pennsylvania. And in Pittsburgh, and it's real hill, as opposed to here, it's real hilly, obviously, in Pittsburgh. So I was in his neighborhood, and I'm like, I'm not going to be running up and down these hills and everything. It's just wearing me out. So, but there was a ball field nearby, and kind of like where 14-year-olds play. So it wasn't a huge field, you know, it was like sort of 300-foot fences and stuff.
Perfect.
And I'm thinking, okay, so I decided to have, I had this brilliant idea of like, I'll do the old foul pole to foul pole. I'll sprint from one foul pole to the other and then walk back.
Oh, my.
And, of course, immediately, like, I went from right field to left field, and by the time I got to right center, somebody grabbed a knife and jammed it in my hamstring.
Yeah.
Not bad, but it's like, and then you tell people about it. I told my buddy when I got back to his house, and he's like, what are you training for the Olympics? Like, what are you sprinting for? Who does that?
Right,
at age 50, whatever I was at the time, you know.
Yeah. So, no, it's a bad idea. And we would play turkey bowls and sometimes against each other and sometimes on the same team. And, you know, you'd be the receiver and you didn't realize that in life you don't sprint, right? Like you run for what, an elevator? Like what are you running for in life, right? Like to beat traffic across the street before it hit a car?
I worry about that, Rick, sometimes that where if I'm at a place where I'm going to cross the street quickly –
you may not be able to move suddenly.
That I might snap in my Achilles or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think you can keep running and keep sprinting and keep doing all that stuff as if you never stop from the time you're a kid. Like, I played softball those years and I was fine.
Sure.
Once you stop, though, for a while, then you're done.
Then it's hard. Yeah.
When you wrap it up. So.
Well, you become the Tin Man, which is what I'm going through right now. But that's, you know, I need some of that Tom Brady. You know, plyometrics type deal.
That pineapple juice or whatever he drinks.
Avocado, whatever. Yeah, but
whatever,
I mean,
seaweed.
I think it's. But also, if my friend Alex Guerrero, you know, could show me how to like stretch muscles that used to actually stretch, where you could like straighten your legs instead of like they're permanently bent now, that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, so just real quickly on your Tampa Bay Rays, they lose on a walk-off in extra innings, which how do you feel?
Same
you
old Rays.
Yeah, here they go. Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Yeah, that's boy, right.
Yeah, you win 17 out of 18 or 16 out of 17.
Too
boy,
much to ask just, to win another one, huh? Okay.
Sorry, got a little high in the saddle there. look, they had a chance to win this game, and it was 3-3 going to extras. And I, you know, in the beginning, and maybe I still like it, but maybe I don't. In the beginning, I thought this whole sort of what we would call the, I don't know, the Texas rule or whatever. They had a rule. You put a guy on second base in overtime.
Start extra innings, yeah.
Start the extra innings, a guy, man on second base, nobody out. I liked it. No, I'm not such a big fan of it. And I don't know why. Like, I like the fact that the games end within an inning or two, right? You don't just stay up all night to watch a result or such. But by the same token, it really isn't baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I've just got the sudden, like, I'm reversing my original course of action that I sort of like the rule, and now I dislike it immensely. Does that make sense?
Like, I understand it. I think for a while there, I was starting to wonder because I watched a couple of games where like everybody was scoring, and and then it was like, well, wait a minute, this is sort of defeating the purpose of ending these games early if teams are just going to keep scoring. And then we went through a stretch there where nobody scores, nobody scores, and then you get to the 12th inning, and then the visiting team scores 7 runs.
Yeah,
and the games
that lasts an hour and a half.
But I don't know. I think overall I like it just because I'll stick around and keep watching. There's nothing more frustrating than when you sometimes get to extra innings and it seems like everybody's trying to end a game on a home run. That's the only way you're going to win it is somebody in his yard.
Yeah.
This way it feels like, all right, if you can at least put the ball in play and move the guy over and get, you know, next thing you know, you start intentionally walking people, guys are on the base. So I don't know. I think I like it, but I certainly understand why you might not, you know.
But I have liked it until recently, and I'm not exactly sure why. I feel as though, I don't know. It's better than sitting there and watching an extra hour and a half. Of, like you said, guys, I thought there would be more strategy. I thought the teams would say, okay, man on second, let's bunt guys to third, get him to third with less than two outs.
To give up that out, Rick. The game has changed so much that
I know.
I think that's what the analytics tell you is like never give up an out if you can.
Or if you're on defense, do you walk a guy to set up a double play? Like, you know, that sort of thing. There just really isn't a lot of strategy. I just see guys at second and everybody just swinging away. That's about it.
No, you're
somebody's going to get a couple hits and you're going to score a run and that's going to be the end of it, you know?
Obviously, Rick, this team, the Rays. I mean, you don't expect them. They're going to win 15 out of 16 all the time, or whatever the number was. But is this closer to who they were than they were before the streak? In other words, is this their records suggest they're the best team in baseball? Are they the best team in baseball? Are they this good, or are they a 500 team that went on a run?
I think it's fair to say now that they've begun their June swoon. Right? literally?
They go, that's right. May, losing 12 innings, 11 innings to the Yankees.
That's right. Yeah. May was great. Now that we're in the 1st of June, and here comes the swoon. They're neither, right? They weren't the team that was 20 and 19 or whatever it was before they went on this run. And they're certainly not the team with the best record in baseball. I mean, how many major league teams win 16 out of 17? It's very, very hard to do. I don't think my Legion team did that very often. So I think they're somewhere in between. I do think that they're the best team in the American League East. I don't know if the Yankees are ever going to straighten themselves out.
Doesn't feel like they are, does it?
It doesn't feel that way. I still don't believe in Boston, although they've had a terrific start. I think it surprised everybody. Toronto's pitching to me isn't good enough to sustain them, and I still believe that, you know, this whole notion of being homeless, and it's through no fault of their own. I mean, Canada's closed with COVID, whatever. But I do think it kind of shows you, if you're listening, Stuart Sternberg, that this is hard on human beings to really not have a home. And maybe, you know, Toronto doesn't have their fans here, which is probably an element of it too. But it just seems like I think the Rays are who we thought they were going to be. Ultimately, they got there a different way. Lots of injuries, lots of young players coming up and filling roles. You know, the pitching and defense has carried them, which is what you would expect. And really, their big bats, you know, Brandon Lau, and until recently, Austin Meadows really didn't do a whole lot. You know what I mean? And Randy Arozarena has sort of been up and down, but they're such a tough out. And what's funny, and I said this to Steve the other day, is that Yankee fan and maybe the Yankees themselves really don't believe that the Rays are better than them. You know, it's kind of that you're
for
not better
years,
than me.
Rick. For 3 years, they've gone through that.
But here's the thing,
and I don't know why.
They're a better baseball team. Like, you can say all you want to about, well, you
know.
The
Rays are a better team. That's what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Yeah, like,
I agree.
You can say all you want about, well, the shifts, and they do the opener, and they got these, you know, the matchups and the analytics. You know what? You're doing the same thing. Like, everybody in baseball now is doing all of that, okay? So it ain't about that anymore. It really isn't. It's about the depth of their organization, how they may not be as good against you 1 through 25, but I guarantee you they're better 1 through 40. And so
you know what they're better at,
when you get
Rick?
Injuries, you know, they replace guys and you can't.
Right. I'll tell you what else they're better at, Rick. They're better at fundamentals, the Rays.
Oh, absolutely.
They play the game better. And this, I think the first game of the series, and even the loss, that game shouldn't even have gone to extra innings. But the Rays do little things well. And Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, was talking about it after the first game of the series. I was watching his post game.
Yeah.
And he was talking about they score on a double from first with two outs in an inning. They don't run themselves out of innings like we saw the Yankees do.
Well, Sanchez wandered off the base
what
on a ground ball to short.
Like, Meadows got picked off in a bad spot.
He did.
In the second game here. But for the most part, they make the – Rick, they catch the ball. They throw it to the right places. No, really, it's Bull Durham, right? They catch it.
Baseball is a simple game.
It is.
You throw the ball. You hit the ball,
you catch the ball. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes it rains. But I'm telling you, you look at the Yankees. Like, I think the Yankees aren't very good fundamentally. I think they run themselves out of innings. Their defense is not great.
Right.
Those are all the things that the Rays are really good at. And I look at their lineup. There's like nobody necessarily in that lineup that I totally fear, but there aren't any like giant holes either. You're every game it's somebody different. It might be Choi one night, or it might be Arozarena, or it might be Meadows with a big home run, or Zunino, who's having like a quietly
really
nice
year.
Season, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we should forget these days, Rick, of looking at batting averages. I think batting averages matter anymore.
No,
they
don't.
It's not like we were growing up where guy. Oh,
it's too bad too, because I could have been one of the better 250 hitters in pro baseball. 220.
I sure. If 200 was the bar, like, sign me up.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, you have to have a complete like mind change, right? Like, all of a sudden, strikeouts not bad. And through your whole life, did you ever think of anything was more embarrassing than being called out on strikes or swinging them
in? At least put it in play. Make them do something with it. Yeah.
You'd feel better about going 0 for 4 if you hit three dribblers back to the mound. I swear you would. Than standing there and either being called out or swinging and missing. Nothing was more embarrassing than a strikeout. In fact, I mean, to this day, I have dreams about it. You know, I stand up there and I swing and I miss, and it's like, it's a gut punch every time. Like, you can't fathom having to go back to that dugout and everybody's kind of looking down on the ground, right? Like, it was the worst. Nowadays, oh well, get them next time. Like, literally doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Encouraged in some ways, as opposed to maybe hitting to a double play or something.
Exactly.
But yeah,
at least you're working a count. At least you're getting.
Yeah,
four or five
it's good
pitches
at bat. You got eight pitches. Like, really, that's a good at bat. So yeah, the game that part of the game has changed, and I think it's. I don't know if it's for the better. I mean, show me a game, and I can complain about baseball all night, but show me a game that each team doesn't have 10 strikeouts. You can't find one.
No.
You can't find a game where each ball club has struck out at least 10 times.
Right.
You know? It's just they're giving away pizzas or whatever the hell it is now. Got
to go to the
furniture
store and get a coupon to go to the gas station to go to the other
place. I've looked at more couches than you can imagine, let's say. Jeez, here he comes again. He won't buy a couch. But yeah, so anyway.
Just want a taco, man.
That's right. Give me a taco and a Burka Lounger right now. How about it? What do you say? I want to sit in this one, okay? All right. I sat in it. Now give me a taco.
Give me a taco.
They don't even make me sit down anymore.
I just walk right in, walk up, get the taco, and leave.
That's right.
Taco man. But anyway. All right, what we got going on at pointer.org?
Well, you know what? How about we talk about it? I'll come back tomorrow's podcast, and we'll talk about Naomi Osaka and her sort of press conferences and what it means for sports press conferences. It's a subject that I'm telling you, Rick, if it's blown up on Twitter or social media, and I'm even seeing sports writers disagreeing with one another about all that happened.
It's something that's near and dear to our hearts, and it has also morphs into a little bit of what we've already talked about with respect of what we hope comes back after COVID and what might not come back. But yeah, this is a different sort of subject with sort of about press conferences and then also Naomi herself. So we'll do that on tomorrow's podcast. Thanks for joining me, Tom Jones. Look him up at the Pointer Institute of Media Studies, his newsletter every day on pointer.org.
And don't sprint anybody.
Oh, gosh, no. Please, take it easy out there, you weekend warriors. For Steve Burstink, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.